Director's report. Director?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'll just start my report. I think later this afternoon we're going to do some more to thank you, Miranda, but thank you very much. You have been one of the hardest working commissioners I've ever been around, and I've been around a lot for many, many years and in a couple states, so thank you very much, and we have a couple things for you later in the day. I'm going to give a brief update. This is going to be more of a director's office report because there's been a lot going on, and I have several people that are going to help me with this report. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what we've been doing in the director's office over the last month or so. It's been very busy. I've only had about 3 full days in the office in the last 5 weeks, so it's been kind of crazy. We've been running around. But one of the things we've done is we've done our annual trip around the state giving awards. Part of that has been informing employees about the results of the legislative session. Joe's going to talk a bit about that here in a minute. But it's always gratifying to get out and thank people and talk to the field folks and see how they've been doing and how things are progressing in the field. It's one of our favorite times of the year. One part of that, the one region we have not given awards out yet is Region 5, Vancouver. But what we did do was go down for the dedication of the new Ridgefield office. And that was really a good time. The commission was represented by Commissioner Baker. And the community really came out. They were very happy to see us there. And the facility is beautiful. Next time we have a commission meeting down there, we'll arrange a tour for the commission, but the architecture is very nice. It's an open design with low partitions, but that allows all kinds of light to come through, and any office that you're in, if you crane your neck a little bit, you can look outside, and that's great for our kind of people that like to see what it's doing outside and follow the weather and all of those things. So anyway, that's been pretty that's a neat thing, and it's been a long time in coming. I think Guy Norman was there. He got a lot of credit for working on that. I think he said he'd worked 15 years approximately. We moved out of an old Fred Meyers building that never was really suited for an office into a really nice space, and I'm welcomed by the community, so that was a neat thing. Earlier in the month, I attended the WAFWA meeting, the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, and a few other staff also attended. It was a very good meeting in Colorado this year, and just a couple items from that. With this change in administration, there's been changes on the federal level that likely to affect Washington and all the states, but the leadership of the Fish and Wildlife Service, of course, has changed in the Department of Interior. A Westerner, Zinke, is the new Secretary of Interior. I was able to go out to dinner with Aurelia Skipwith, and that's the she's the Deputy Assistant Secretary to Ryan, and so very pleasant evening. She's the political appointee to the Secretary, and it was neat. She doesn't have a whole lot of fish and wildlife experience, but she's an attorney and has a lot of interesting experience. I think she's going to be good. She's certainly reaching out to the states and wants to work with us. Some of the main issues going on at that level people are very interested in looking at the Endangered Species Act and some possible revisions there. And then the other large item is trying to move forward with legislation in support of the Blue Ribbon Panel discussions. I'm very interested in both of those items, and I'm going to actually attend the Association of Fish and Wildlife meetings this fall because those are important items to us, particularly the Blue Ribbon Panel. There's potential there, if that could go through, to be a game changer in terms of providing funding to the states, mimicking, I guess, or similar to Pittman-Robertson, Dingell-Johnson, but on the species of greatest conservation need. That when you talk about those species, yes, they are threatened and endangered species, potentially. The idea is to get ahead of those species in that to prevent species from becoming listed. So that's very important for all the states. But also, that funding could be used for education. It also could be used for working on species that traditionally have been hunted but are in trouble. For example, sage grouse. We have needs on bighorn sheep and other animals that we don't get enough, you know, just support, I guess, from the hunting side because we don't hunt them or they're rare, but we could provide more help for those kinds of animals. So it's exciting, and hopefully we can see that through. One development there is Virgil Moore, former boss and the Fish and Wildlife, or Fish and Game Director in Idaho, is going to be the new president of OFWA. So I have a direct link to his office and hopefully can influence some of the movement in those areas and keep people thinking about what I believe is the most important thing, and that's the Blue Ribbon Panel discussions, and not get too diverted on some things that may not be or that might be very difficult, for example, changes in ESA.
Can I ask a question about the meeting? So there were some white papers on sage-grouse that were adopted at the meeting, and concerns about what's going to happen with the regional management plan, this really complicated process to try and preserve sage-grouse habitat. What's WAFWA's thinking in terms of how they might be able to influence any changes to this?
Well, they're moving forward with those, with the papers that you saw. They're working with Fish and Wildlife Service right now to, you know, there was a desire by some to switch to a population-based management scheme instead of a habitat-based. WAFWA, of course, supports the habitat-based management. So a lot of input. I think that the nice thing is people are open to continued discussions on that. So I haven't seen that there's,
people from the federal side.
People at the federal side, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see, I lost my thoughts on that. Anyway, yeah, the sage grouse stuff, that was a very important topic, and we aren't quite as involved in that, but we do have our smaller sage grouse population. Anyway, the meeting was very good. I have a list. If anybody has any specific questions, I'd like to talk to you about it. One thing in the future, the chairman, Smith has been accompanying me to the last couple of meetings, the winter meetings. I think that's been good. I think you probably intend to do that in the future. But it would be nice if we had a commissioner or two attend the summer meetings. The next meeting of WAFWA will be in Portland, so it'll be a very, reasonable from a travel standpoint. I know that Commissioner Wecker has gone to WAFWA's in the past. It's a neat opportunity to meet your fellow commissioners from other states and hear about the issues that they're working on.
Maple bars.
That'd be donuts for all of us.
New phone. Right?
So anyway, one thing. I chair the State Federal Tribal Communications Committee, and Bob Everett, our recently retired regional director, helped me set up a panel on wilderness policy and continuing management, state management in wilderness areas for fish and wildlife. And so we had an excellent panel. We had representatives from BLM, Forest Service, and the Park Service there on the panel, as well as three state people. It went over real well. We had about 50 people present. In Washington, our issues have been more around management in national parks. We've done pretty well in the wilderness. Very interesting because there's such a difference among wilderness areas, even in within a state, and the influence of the individual forest supervisor over the management within those areas. And so it's a contentious issue across the West, and we're working on that one. Here, I think the last the last big issue for us was promulgating a clam season out on the Olympic Peninsula. And we were able to pull that off last winter, but it took quite a bit of haggling to get that done. Another item that you're going to be hearing about, probably we need to tee it up pretty soon, But the Park Service wants to reduce the mountain goat population in Olympic National Park. We want to be very involved in that because we want to be the recipient of live goats to as transplant sources to other parts of the state. And there may be some possibilities of, you know, other kinds of cooperation with the parks. So it's an important issue, and we're going to continue that dialogue and topic at the association, the National Association meeting later in Utah. Let's see. So now I think I'd like to have some of the director's office help me with a couple of other issues. We'll start with Joe. He's going to talk about the capital budget and maybe give you just a brief update on where we settled on the legislation or legislative session.
Yeah, thanks, Director. I just want to take a second and talk about the capital budget. Owen Rowe and Nate Pamplett are going to talk about a little bit about the last session and then project forward towards the supplemental session here as the next agenda item. But I think everybody knows we went through three special sessions, 193 days, and at the very last minute got an operating budget. But what we didn't get was a capital budget. And our capital budget covers either directly or indirectly almost 100 people in the agency. And so we have about $60 million in play in the capital budget. And we're looking at ways, as our other state agencies, to hang on to the trained, experienced folks that we have in those positions, you know, not wanting to let them go any sooner than we have to. It looks like we'll be able to hang on to folks at least through the first part of October and some all the way into the spring, just with some reappropriated dollars that were passed. It doesn't look like there's a lot of progress right now being made on the capital budget. The guesses I hear, there's lots of rumors flying around, but the guesses I hear are we're probably talking months before we'll see a budget, if we see one at all this year. So it's a real challenge, and there's a lot of work that's not getting done on hatcheries and our lands as a result. So I just wanted you to be aware that we're still not out of the woods in terms of budget and a lot of things in at risk.
Technical question. How late can the governor call a special session? Can he call it all the way to the next opening? Or?
Yeah, I believe so. The governor has said he's not interested in calling for a special session until there's a agreement on the Hearst issue, the water availability issue that's been debated for throughout this last session.
Next, Nate Pamplin's going to give us an update on where we're at. We did secure some general fund funds through this legislative session. Along with those funds came some proviso language directing us to do some review of our internal operations. I view that as an opportunity, and I welcome the opportunity for us to look at the efficiencies and how we manage things, how the department's set up, and Nate's going to talk a little bit about that. I think all of you know by now. If not, I wanted to let you know Nate has joined the director's office. He's working as our policy director. He's supervising the governmental affairs group as well as our public affairs outreach group.
And planning.
What's that?
Strategic planning.
And yes, strategic planning, and also the lean group. So, anyway, welcome Nate, and many of you remember Nate from the last job he had, and he has a track record of getting things done. One of his most recent, I think, outstanding accomplishments was moving forward with the new licensing system. And if you look at the director's report, you'll note in there we've just sold over our million documents through this new system. It's actually just really amazing to me that we were able to put that in place in 6 months, and it's worked as well as it has already. We're very thrilled with the new contractor being very responsive, and it's a great change. Anyway, with that, Nate, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Director Unsworth. Just wanted to reflect and remind this body that it took us about a year or so to break the habit of calling Chairman Smith Madam Chair.
Still recovering.
Because of the long tenure of Commissioner Wecker in that seat. So just congratulations, Commissioner Wecker, on your tenure as a commissioner. So yes, I wanted to provide you an update on the operating budget proviso. And the proviso in our 17-19 operating budget contains essentially three main elements. And that is, we're directed to conduct an organization assessment and to look at efficiencies. We're supposed to come up with a long-term plan to address the financial stability of the department and submit a zero-based budget next fall. I anticipate this being part, kind of a standing agenda item for every commission meeting, given the importance of the work and the aggressive timeline that we're operating under. But since we've had now 4.5 weeks since the budget came out, I wanted to give you a progress report of what's occurred thus far. For the organization assessment, we have an RFP to bring on an outside consultant that's being posted today. That RFP contains four major elements. The first is to conduct a budget overview of the department's $420+ million operating budget and all the complexities of those different accounts. To conduct an organizational structure review, to compare us with peer agencies, to explore for administrative efficiencies and with a real focus on accountability. To conduct a management structure review, again to focus on efficiencies, including exploring centralizing budget control, IT, accounting, and other administrative services, and again having that comparison to other peer agencies. And finally, the fourth element of this RFP is to come up with our implementation plan, i.e. our to-do list, and estimate both the savings that could be achieved if we implemented those recommendations, as well as some of the costs that we would incur. So as far as upcoming dates for this first element of our proviso, the RFP will be out for a few weeks. We'll select a vendor, hopefully in early September. We'll be providing an update to the commission in December, and we anticipate a final report in January. While the section is not due to the legislature until May 1st, in concert in discussions with OFM, we wanted to move this particular phase earlier on in the fiscal year, kind of get it done in the first 6 months or so that we have the recommendations to include in our long-term plan. If any of the efficiencies identified can help us resolve our budget shortfall for this biennium, as well as help us prepare for our budget submittal that begins, as you know, next spring for the 2019-21 biennium. The second element of the proviso, Commissioner Thorburn.
Going to solely be an internal look, or is there going to be a stakeholder process with the contractor?
For this particular RFP, we're looking at it being the organization assessment in an internal look. However, the second component of the proviso talks about our long-term plan to achieve financial stability. And in the proviso, it specifically calls out an outreach plan. And so we were looking at bringing on a second RFP, because the consultant work would be very different. For this particular portion, we would be looking at the long-term plan and looking at the different types of revenue options that would be available, and making sure the proviso specifically calls out how are we going to have the public, stakeholders, the commission, and legislators be able to be engaged and inform the development of our revenue options that we bring forward for 1921.
Just thinking in terms of the organizational structure and the idea of centralizing certain services and the feeling of stakeholders that too much goes on in Olympia already, and just having stakeholder feedback on that, at least during the developmental phase, you know, and not have it solely be an organizational question.
And thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to walk through the third component of the proviso, okay. And then would like to engage in a dialogue with you all this morning to think about, and I have some ideas on how we engage stakeholders through this proviso process, but it's also areas that I want to make sure that you're comfortable with our approach and get your insights on that. So we'll have the RFP out here in the next couple weeks. And again, that long-term plan, the revenue plan, is due to the legislature on May 1st. Turning to the third component of the proviso of the zero-based budget, our central budget staff are researching approaches and methodology of how to go about doing this. The proviso was very prescriptive on the type of work that we need to include in our final report. We're looking at doing much of this work internally. And David Giglio, our Assistant Director for Technology Financial Management, and Jeff Davis, Assistant Director of Habitat Program, will be our co-leads for that effort. So in the meantime, we are putting together the reference material for the to-be-determined consultants, including our past organization reviews that occurred in like 1998 and 2010, various correspondence to legislators that explain our budget, and other organizational documents. So I'll pause here, and then I would like to see if there's any other questions, then we'd walk through the idea of how we bring the public along as we implement this proviso. Okay, so an additional idea that we're contemplating and interested in your feedback and perspective is we're thinking about developing and creating a new policy or budget and strategic planning advisory group. So it's kind of that common denominator across our other advisory groups about strategic direction, have a sounding board for our legislative proposals, but really for this first year, help us navigate the challenges that we have and the workload associated with this the elements in the proviso. We're thinking about the idea of inviting 15 to 20 individuals. The meetings would be open to the public. And again, the focus of this first year is on the proviso. And some of the people that we're thinking about inviting may be already on some of the other agencies' advisory groups. So that would allow for that cross-pollination and ensure that information is being dispersed through a network of folks that are already willing to engage and volunteer their time to assist the department. We found that our budget is very complex. It's very difficult sometimes to explain to the public, and inviting people to get grounded in some of those details might be helpful as we go forward, and that they can truly understand some of the complexities and challenges and restrictions of the different funding sources that we have. But wanting to understand and gauge the commission's role in relation to this potential advisory group, we could establish this as a director-appointed group, or we could have this as a commission-appointed group. Another idea is that we just really kind of take some of this dialogue to our existing advisory groups and start working with them a little bit more closely beyond just the subject areas of wolf advisory or game management or a wildlife area or a particular geographic area for fishing, but start introducing some of the concepts of the more global statewide budget and policy issues. Or finally, we could potentially bring up work with individuals in those advisory groups and start bringing up kind of panels of individuals to have the dialogue with you. It'd be staff supported. We'd work with those individuals in advance and try to make sure that there's a dialogue for your engagement and perspectives as we develop different long-term plans and financial stability. So I'm very interested. I've talked with Director Unsworth and Deputy Director Storr. We're hoping that we could either visit this morning, or if folks need some time to think about it, perhaps we could re-engage on the conference call.
So one thought. Some of us had this discussion with some members of the wildlife program this morning. you bring up reaching out to stakeholders who are already involved through advisory committees and that sort of thing. And we were talking about attempting to reach maybe some of the silent majority who are not so engaged but have a real interest in wildlife and fish in Washington State. And the program seems to have some ideas about how to do that, but I would really encourage that we maybe tap into some stakeholders who aren't the regular faces around the department.
I'm very happy to hear that you're thinking in terms of a more intense or more concentrated, more consolidated effort to do strategic planning. Because what I've seen in my terms on the commission is complex issue after complex issue, difficult to resolve, ongoing, persistent, chronic day-to-day issues, and then these larger things that pose maybe strategic threats to the welfare of the department and therefore our ability to manage the resources as the public expects. So the long-term vision, the leadership that's required to meet these large issues that are approaching us is often difficult to muster because everybody's just doing their daily needed tasks. So finding a place for strategic planning is really important and difficult at the same time. And the efforts that we've made in the past to do strategic planning as a commission and in the ranks of the staff, I just remember a lot of strategic planning efforts that led to not a lot of coherent action. So it's nice to plan. It's needed. The planning is needed. But making that transition to actually turn it into something that changes the department's conduct is another mountain to climb. And I've seen it fail a number of times and lead to just documents that sit on the shelf. And that doesn't enhance trust in the department. I think it is critical to think of the commission as the body that needs to stay up to date and involved, engaged in a significant way, year after year, meeting after meeting. We made a concerted effort in regards to the capital budget management via the Burke report and its prescriptions. And I think we kept up with that for a number of years, and then it kind of fell by the wayside. But it was a finding of the Burke report, which was an audit of a type, that the commission needed to be involved consistently. That's the other major role. Besides being the conduit, the voice of the people, we are the only body that holds the department accountable. We are in that position. That's where the people put us. So it's really important to stay on top in a serious way, in a deep way. And so I congratulate, I applaud your thinking. You're thinking in a way that I haven't heard before about engaging the commission. That's really good. I have some thoughts about what's strategically important, the bigger issues coming at the department in regard to fish and wildlife. So I think you're on the right track. It sounds good, but don't shortchange the implementation side. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Thank you, Chair. Good to see you, Nate, and I encourage what you're doing. the thought came to my mind, as we look at strategic planning, it's so important, I think, to get outside the silos that we typically are in as people that look at wildlife issues and biology. And I'll give a live example. On the way down here, I stopped and visited with a ranch family that was totally burned out by the Sutherland fire. So they lost 5,000 acres of grazing, and now they're scrambling to find a way to keep cows fed. Lost in that fire was also 74 pygmy rabbits, and we're scrambling now as a agency and people concerned about wildlife, you know, the few that were saved, how does that breeding program come back? And we're going to spend, I would guess, hundreds of thousands of dollars to repair the damage that that fire caused. Sage-grouse leks, you know, were burned up in the higher areas. It's devastating. And yet our focus tends to be the cleanup, the what do we do for the habitat? You know, let's buy more acres. And in talking with this ranch family, the fire could have been put out in a 180-foot stretch of fire line along the main road. And five trucks sat there with nobody getting out that would do it on state land, not our employees. But it just upset me so much. I thought, that story needs to be told. You know, think of the difference if some of our strategy was to work with, for instance, other agencies that have other responsibilities, whether that's firefighting or some of the other things, and we tend to miss it. So I would encourage that in this looking at who you're selecting for these advisory groups and whatnot. Don't just stick to our normal pattern of we need to talk to hunters, and we do, but we need to see a bigger strategy, a bigger picture, because sometimes we're just throwing money after money after money, you know, and fire, I'm afraid. I've lived through two major fires in the Okanagan. It doesn't bounce back right away. The shrub component is gone for many, many years. You know, grass will come back quickly, but not the shrub, and it affects. In that particular part of the world, there's an effort called Arid Lands Initiative, and they have 10 focal species that they're concerned about blinking out, or that just there's habitat problems. And all 10 of those species were represented in this one burn area. So something to think about.
Yeah, I would also just chime in on that. I think it's critical who, as the advisory board or committee is set up, who sits on that. So I think you've heard interest from us to help in that, because I think that'll make or break the what happens. Are you have more? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I just want to encourage what you're doing and the route you're headed down. And like Miranda said, I think being inclusive is a lot better and keeping us, because there again, I get phone calls Sunday morning at 8 o'clock from the leader of the Senate, really upset about something, you know. And there again, with the behemoth of the budget that we do have, yeah, you're trying to get the whole package through. And I felt very strongly that we needed some more money to run the fisheries and run the hunting. But then pretty quick, you start arguing with them over that, and they go, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I got to be some pretty hard arguments, you know, because there again, the budget was the big budget, and there was things in there that we surely needed. And I mean, nobody's more conservative financially than I am. But, and that's what I told them. I said, we do need some money, and I think working on selling this, talk with Raquel a lot, and I think she's really starting to get this and understand this, that, and I'm going to fall back to this, everybody on the planet knows what a Coca-Cola is, but how many millions of dollars does Coca-Cola spend every year advertising, marketing? And I think that's one thing that we really, really need to remember to do. We've got a really good product. All kinds of animals, watchable, huntable, fishable, whatever you want to do. And sometimes we just need to remember and look at the big corporations, what they're doing, and keep selling our products. But no, total encouragement, what you're doing, and any way I can be of assistance, count me in.
Yes, Commissioner Grable.
Jay, you really make a good point with your Coca-Cola analogy. I think that I think we can do a better job of communicating with our public and also doing a better job of marketing and letting people know. I think very few people, for good reason, have little understanding of the depth and scope of what the responsibilities are for the department. I also think this advisory committee, because it's going to be building toward a future, include people that, you know, we're looking for ways for the non-consumptive, we're still wrestling with that term, group to be more involved. And I think that could be an important element of developing what we look to in the future, of how the department interacts with those groups and gets them involved. There's an awful long list of things under your title, Nate, and they're all very important. And I applaud, but I also agree that we need to try to look into the future what potential needs there might be and not be involved with the usual players. This is an opportunity to take a different approach, which would be important, I think, at this juncture.
Yes, Commissioner Baker.
Oh, there you go, Barbara.
There's a mic shy down there.
Thanks for that report, Nate. I think we're all saying the same thing, but I don't think we're being very specific, and I'm not sure. I want to suggest that I think, speaking for everybody here, we really do want to help, and perhaps more one-on-one would be something that we can do. The thing that the push and pull is that this advisory committee could be very important to the strategic plan and to the future of the which way we're going to go as an agency. And I agree completely with all the commissioners. We haven't done a very good job of marketing, and we really don't know who out there we need to reach, because if we did know that, we would have already done it. And so who speaking to Kim's point, bringing in the people that aren't the normal people that talk to us is very important. But I think there's probably more than we know, and our direction dictates who those people are. So it's very circular. The other thing that I want to say is that the people who have been involved have gotten us to where we are. And so as we discussed, I mean, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, excluding some of our traditional stakeholders, both in the hunters and fishers and the conservation effort, could also result in some very hard feelings. So I'm seeing a multi and sort of feelings of abandonment when they've been working pretty hard. I'm seeing a multifaceted plan developing here, and I agree with Bob. I mean, you've got a lot on your plate right now. If we can help with that, perhaps in our regional areas, if we can be clear enough on developing a process for this, we might be able to funnel in some pretty good information to you, without completely aggravating some of the people who have supported us for as long as they have. So that's also not very specific, but I think we're here to help you.
Commissioner Carpenter.
My colleagues have, I think, covered a lot of things, so there's not. I just want to reiterate a couple. One, I think this group that you gather from the advisory side, Nate, I think we got to be real diverse, and try and avoid the habits that we all get in. I mean, we all, myself included, is I always go to the people that I know, but I don't go to the people that maybe know and I don't know that they know. For example, younger people. Everywhere we go in this arena and the management of this agency and the subgroups that we meet with, North of Falcon, PFMC, all. There's one common denominator from one year to the next. Everybody's a year older. You're not seeing any new blood, and there's some smart young people out there. We're just not connected to them. Maybe we can, I mean, I think we need to start building a legacy of bringing some younger people on board and giving them the opportunity to absorb some of the knowledge from some of us graybeards that we think we have knowledge. And I'm looking at Ron, too. And The other thing, so anyway, I'll stop with that. The other thing I do want to reiterate is I think a lot of the colleagues talked about it, marketing. I have preached about marketing ever since I've been on the commission, and that's marketing very simple because I was in the retail business for 35 years. You have a customer base. That's who you market to. And if we don't know who our customer base is, we really have a problem. So I think we need to identify that, focus on it, and let them work with us to make this better into the future. They're starving for love out there, our customer base. So.
Did we give you enough so far?
Well, yes, I really appreciate the engagement and insights here. Why don't we take a couple more weeks to put some shape to this? This is going to be a critical part of implementation of the proviso and beyond. I could see this being a standing committee, quite frankly, that goes beyond just this fiscal year. But kind of how the reporting relationship to the director, to the commission, your all's engagement, why don't I flesh out some additional options that incorporate your feedback, and we'll bring that to you on a conference call. Is that okay?
Yeah. An observation from some other boards that I'm on, foundation boards, when they've been having meetings over the last couple of years, they've made it part of the agenda of the invite list that a certain percent had to be under 30. So they've actually instituted a formula. So I don't want to hamstring you, but I think the youth part of this is very critical, because when we're marketing, we can't just market to today. We got to market for tomorrow. And that is the future. And I'm a broken record on some of this, but I think we're continually remiss in not engaging youth more. So this is an opportunity. If there's 15 members, I would say a certain percent should be in that under 30 range, of which there's leadership. There are people in leadership positions in groups that we don't all know that are under 30. They're doing stuff that we don't understand.
And our sales and marketing team in the licensing division has been developing an agency marketing plan for this biennium. I had an initial rollout, I think, in June with the draft with the other programs. So as that takes further shape, I think that would also be a good briefing for the commission and get your read on that plan.
All right. Are you done then?
Okay. Thank you, Nate.
And Director? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple items there. this committee will be very broadly based. It's going to definitely include traditional users, and I do know our base and who that is, and so they're going to be a part of this, as well as some of the newer folks that are more interested in the department. But I do know the base, and marketing, I'm all there. We would love to increase capacity there. You can see that I've pulled the public affairs group into this. We're going to give some more emphasis in those specific areas. Something I've observed over the last couple of years, that it's definitely we need more work in those areas. This kind of advisory group, they're a lot of work, and so I've cautioned Nate on that. And also, we're getting them and talking to them about items that I believe are probably in the commission's purview. And so we will continue to update you continually on these efforts. And this will be an advisory group and an outreach group, so we can communicate out to people. But you all are the decision makers, and you set policy for the department. And so you're the very important people that we need to keep engaged over the next year during this effort. And I do see it as a real opportunity to improve the department. So we'll be there. I have a couple other items, and I know that we've tapped the time, but last year I asked Ron to put some work plans together. He's going to do a 3-minute update on where we're at with some of those work plans and a couple other items, and then I have to also ask Donnie to come up and just talk a little bit in 3 to 5 minutes about where we're at with the wolf. But anyway, go ahead.
We're fine on time because Item 5 has been removed from the agenda.
Oh, okay. All right.
That doesn't mean, Ron, you have an hour.
Dang it. 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Chair Smith, commissioners, directors, Ron Warren with Fish Program. I wanted to come in again, reiterate what director said about work plans and communicating back to the commission on a regular basis on some key topics that the Fish Program is dealing with. First, I'd like to update the commission a bit on this year's planning for alternative gear use in Willapa Bay. And I will say that staff have worked very, very hard. The constituents have hung in, and unfortunately, we didn't do a great job in planning out what we were going to do and staying clear with messages of the implications of those things. In talking to the director yesterday, we're going to suspend the alternative gear work for this year. We think that we've learned a lot this year, and we are going to focus on what we've learned, sit back down with our constituents, and start to plan out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it for next year so that we're ready. We think that there are gear types that were introduced this year. You heard back in March from the lakes. Jason and Bob Lake both came in and talked about a gear type that Jason had tentatively designed that I believe shows real promise. There were other gears that during the request for proposals were interesting, and also staff have done a great deal of research overseas and everywhere that they can find on the internet about what trap sites should look like and what options we may have in the future for exploration by our constituents. So that's Willapa. I'll pause there. Commissioner Wecker leaned forward. I have a feeling she's going to continue to ask questions up to the last moment of me about Willapa Bay like she has the last 12 or so years.
Well, it's a long, evolving story. And I have been working with Ron for, I don't know, it's been close to the 12 years I've been on the commission. We've gone to numerous local meetings in which various ideas have been put forward to address the issues in Willapa. And I also was reminiscing yesterday with Ron about moving to Pacific County, and one of my first tasks in working with nonprofits there was the development of a fish recovery plan. So it was a real treat for me to be involved in the development of our fish management policy for Willapa. Not uniformly appreciated locally, I recognize, but I think we did make some real strides forward. The advocacy was really key to coming up with some of the ideas in that, and I hope we maintain the progress we've made. But this transition to a more selective form of commercial fishing is critical. And we have a PHAS problem that we don't really have a good solution to otherwise. So I did predict that this year was going to be bumpy, and it was going to be hard to fast-track permits in a clean way. So now we're kind of abandoning the effort to put anything into place this year. And I think that's the right choice. Rebooting, resetting for next year is going to be critical, because I do believe, we were talking about strategic priorities, this is one of them. It's not about Willapa. It's about the whole deal of trying to figure out how we're going to mop up hatchery fish. We figured out perfectly, or close to, all we need about the production of hatchery fish, the clipping, the marking of hatchery fish. But we do not have a good mop-up technology to commensurate with our ability to produce. So we produce, but we don't clean them up. That's what we need, and that's what this fish trap presents as a potential. So I think a huge amount of our effort should be put on this very large question of how do we design this mop-up tool. We don't have the back end figured out, and that's why I keep harping. Willapa, because of its simple management context, we don't have co-managers to try to work out agreements with. So this is the place, this is the time. We ought to be devoting sufficient resources, human talent. It's a multifaceted challenge. It's one of the biggest, but it's also one of the most important. So I'm glad we've learned a lot, and we've reached that point of pushing the reset button, but it's going to take all winter to get ready for next year, because it's going to take a lot of people from the outside helping the department. It's so critical, and I hope you all get it. This is a big one right here. And not because it's Willapa, it just happens to be in Willapa. This is a problem that exists throughout the state.
Commissioner Holtzman.
I couldn't agree more with Miranda. And one has to remember that the last of the old technologies is better than the first of the new technology. A horse was a lot more predictable than the cars when they first come on. So there's going to be things to work through. And you just have to have vision that you're going down the road. And there again, fishing on the coast isn't my forte, but when I heard of these fish traps and some of that, it may or may not be the answer, but we've got to do something. And it's a long grind, but we've got to be in for the grind on this one.
So if I might, just to give the Willapa a close, I know that because of those fits and starts, that's under my leadership. My apologies to our constituents for the miscommunication along the way, but applaud them for sticking with us. And in talking to a few of them, some of the keys, folks that are here in the room today, thanks for wanting to continue to work with us, and we'll put a better mousetrap together next year. I'll continue with an update of the Snyder Creek program. The Snyder Creek program approximately 30 years ago started with the North Olympic Peninsula Guide Association. We put an MOU together with them to where they could go collect wild steelhead out of the Solduck River and raise them in a hatchery and release them with a differential mark for marketing for the Forks community. It was very successful. Through the implementation of our statewide steelhead management plan, in 2008, I believe, we needed to create wild steelhead management zones, the Solduck being one of the largest rivers that had an unlisted wild population of steelhead. We worked with the community, many conservation groups, recreational groups, to change where that program was being conducted, and designated the Solduck steelhead as a wild stock gene bank, meaning that you aren't going to raise and release hatchery fish within the Solduck River any longer. Since that time, back in 2013, we have shifted that program to the Bogashiel, and have spent a couple of days researching possible alternatives for sites that the organization could use to go develop. None of those sites have had much success in trying to develop that. And what we are considering is just making long-term arrangements and trying to modify our infrastructure at Bogashiel to allow that program to continue at the state facility. We have a fantastic organization in the Olympic Peninsula Guide Association. They're very connected to the community. The community helps pay for that because of the business that's brought to the local area because of the guide services that are provided. And so although it's moved, it's not formally done and has a long-term vision. We continue to work with a good organization to partner to get to that end point. I have two other real quick topics. The Wainuchi project, long-term money being held in trust with the Tacoma Power on Wainuchi mitigation, and our hang-up recently has been coming to agreement with the Quinault Nation on how to utilize the funds that are set aside there. Happy to report that we have agreement in principle, and we're drawing up documents to provide to the Quinault Nation for final review. We've notified some longstanding volunteer interested parties. Joe Durham, can't say enough for Joe Durham. He has been on this project for, I'm going to guess, 25 years. Bill Osborne also. Dave Hamilton, been interested in this project, and it feels like we're going to get to an end point, but we have told them what the idea in principle is that we're going to share with the Quinault Nation. Hope to finalize that here in the next couple of months and be able to take that back to Tacoma for submittal to FERC for final approval for us to utilize the funds for the Wainuchi mitigation. Primarily, to give you an idea of what that is, it's improved rearing, improved transport, and a dramatic increase in production within the Wainuchi system for coho and steelhead. So those are the three elements of the how we came to agreement. My final topic is the Point No Point boat launch. I had recently briefed the commission on a proposal that we had provided to the Suquamish tribe. The Suquamish tribe rejected that. And we now have a new proposal in front of them. Again, the proposal is to we are seeking their approval for a core permit for the boat launch. Has to be done quickly. We've been working closely with Tim Burns, our assistant director for the camp program, and myself and others trying to make sure that we try to dot this I and get their approval for that permit so that we can utilize funds that we have that are going to expire if we don't get that done. So I won't go into details of what we submitted. I would like to tell you that Senator Rolfes has been very interested in this and has stayed very in touch, so those who in her district might want to reach out and give her a thank you and offer that thanks for that support. The other thing, if I can, we all have some staff, like the director had said, we've been going around the state with staff recognition, and all of you have known Rich Childers for years. Rich moved on, as you are likely aware. And so tomorrow, item 18, the 2016 Puget Sound Dungeness crab fishery, tomorrow morning is going to be presented to you. The replacement for Rich is Bob Sizemore. I'm really, really happy with Bob. His first couple of meetings that I've attended with co-managers and developing shellfish agreements shows that he has learned each of his 27 years with the agency and has just done a phenomenal job stepping in and filling some really big shoes and helping us out. I'd also like to introduce Chris Eardley. He is one of our newest members. Chris is going to present to you later today Puget Sound clam and oyster seasons. And he comes to us with a very a broad history from academia, tribal, NGOs, and is going to be in charge of our Puget Sound bivalve policy. And he's actually sitting right here, so be nice to him. It'll be his first presentation. But like I said, be nice to him. And with that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. I saw Rich a couple days ago, and he's enjoying his new position.
Yeah, he is. He really is. I've been staying in touch with Rich as well.
His smile is infectious. He always looks like it. People are commenting. They said they didn't know him before, and they kept saying, is he always this happy?
Yeah.
With the point-no-point discussions, is it a dialogue, or is it just no, and then we go back to the drawing board?
Unfortunately, it's not a dialogue. It's a here's a proposal and a response. And we have tried to invite ourselves to talk to tribal council and have not been successful. We have done that in recent years, but of late it has not been that. Hoping we're getting a little bit closer. There's been some dialogue with staff and that I hope is leading to some possible resolution, but we'll keep you posted.
As I recall, it was the Corps of Engineers that was insisting that we attempt to get a blessing from the tribe. Isn't that right? So we have the Corps of Engineers, too, as a potential party in this whole dilemma, the stalemate, and possibly after we try again and again and again with no real signs of cooperation and the right spirit, wouldn't the Corps of Engineers think once again, for a second time, do we really need tribal agreement here?
And thank you, Commissioner Wecker. We've tried that approach a couple of times. They are unwilling to move the permit forward without tribal approval, and so we are trying to get the tribe to offer that approval or lack of objection to the Corps so that the Corps can move the permit so that we can put the ramp in place.
I would think that the Corps would be open to reconsidering the question if there's this repeated pattern of refusal to even discuss things with us.
Thank you, Ron. Donnie?
Good morning, Chairman Smith, members of the Commission, Director Unsworth. My name is Donnie Martorell. I'm the Wolf Policy Lead. I'll give you a real quick update here on some latest activity and actions with wolves. Before I do, just a quick reminder. This is a time of year folks know that we've had wolf removal that the agency's done in this month. And that's a tough time for a lot of folks, a lot of stress in the system. The temperature tends to go up in the system. And so it's one of those things that draws some negative energy, if you will. So I wanted to back up for a minute and kind of on a different lens and start this conversation. So just a reminder to folks and those that may be watching or listening. In this state, this is a part of the state in eastern Washington where wolves are federally delisted under ESA. Wolves are state-listed as endangered throughout the state. In this part of the state we're going to talk about, that's where we have 15 of our 20 packs in Washington. We've seen wolf populations increase about 30% every year. Of the 20 packs that we have, the same statistic that we've seen from other Rocky Mountain states, about 80% of the time we don't see conflict between wolves and livestock. About 20% of the time we do see conflict. And then even in a smaller fraction of that 20% are ones when we see repeated chronic conflict that requires agency action. So that just kind of sets the stage for, even though we're talking, I'll be briefing you today about some agency action, it doesn't occur that often in the scope of recovery and what we're seeing. Since we got our first pack, which is now 10 years ago, the director has authorized lethal removal of wolves four times. And so I wanted to bring you up to speed on one of those. So as you're probably aware, in July, we reached 4 depredations in the course of 10 months as a part of our wolf livestock interactions protocol. After that fourth wolf depredation on livestock, the director authorized lethal removal of wolves in the Smackout pack. Between the July 20th and July 30th, we removed 2 wolves. We have since, so that was a period of, per our protocol, that was a period of active or attempts of removal. Now we're in an evaluation period to see if the removal of those 2 wolves and the combination of the deterrence measures that are on the landscape can change the pack behavior. So knock on wood, I hope that we have changed the pack behavior, and we will see. There's been one more depredation during that period, so we've had 5 depredations in the Smackout pack since late September of 2016. However, that last depredation, that was during the period of the removal, so we'll see if we've actually changed pack behavior. And again, hoping that we have, and we will see and continue to give you more updates with that. The other one that I want to give you an update on is the Sherman pack. We've had 3 depredations since June 12th of this year, so we're watching that one very closely. Again, for the protocol, the department considers, there's 5 criteria for when the department considers lethal removal. It includes items like, is it an impact on the local or statewide wolf population? Are the deterrence expectations for deterrence measures being met? One of those criteria is either 3 confirmed three wolf depredations in 30 days or 4 in 10 months. And so obviously we didn't have 3 in 30 days in Sherman, but for the 10-month rolling window, we're still watching that pack. And if we have any other wolf activity. The Sherman pack both of these packs are in northeastern Washington. The Sherman pack is just north of the Colville Indian Reservation, south of the Profanity Peak pack. So right now, as I said, we're in that for Smackout pack. We're in the evaluation period. We're doing updates to the public every week on activities and new wolf information. And that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Thank you, Donnie. Difficult time. Mr. Carpenter.
Mr. Chair. Donnie, I'm changing species a little bit because I had a call the other day. There was a newspaper story and a discussion on one of our local radio stations about 4 horses that were attacked up in Cedar Woolley, one fatality, and it was supposedly a cougar attack. Do you know anything about that yet?
I do not. I'd have to reach out to some other colleagues that work with on that issue.
Thank you.
And I can do that and get back to you.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commission, that concludes the extended director's report. Thank you for your indulgence, but we had a lot of items and different individuals to speak today, so thank you.
Thank you. Very informative, and yes, a lot going on.